Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the After Show with Mike and Kelly. I am your co-host, Kelly Gaumont. With me tonight, the formerly stuffy, currently melty.
Oh my God. Oh,
media
so
sensation.
Unpleasant. So this Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I am warm as well, but probably not as disastrously so as you are.
It's awful here on the East Coast. It's miserable. And my basement studio, which I thought would be so comfortable in the heat of the summer, turns out you have an iMac and a Drobo and all this stuff in it. It's not so cool. It's actually quite uncomfortably hot.
Oh. Oh no.
Yeah, it's bad, but I will make it through. Yeah, it has been a scorcher here in the East. It's the end of the second week, beginning of the third week of August, and it is miserable. Actually, I was a little further north of the city yesterday, and it was hot everywhere, no question about it. But there was a truly spectacular thunderstorm in the Rowena Coxsackie region, which is in the Hudson Valley, just to the west of the Massachusetts New York border, and it was quite something. I found myself standing outside a restaurant with another patron, just watching lightning. Which was
that
something.
Sounds awesome.
It was pretty good light show. I mean, any direction you looked, for about 180 degrees of the sky, you could see enormous cloud to cloud and cloud to ground lightning. Not so close that it made you check that you were wearing insulated shoes, but definitely close enough to get the thrill. So that's quite
awesome.
Something.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And how are things out west for you guys?
Hot, but not as oppressive as what it is over there. Because we have the bonus of dramatically less humidity than all y'all.
Which is weird, because like it's supposed to be rainy in the Pacific Northwest and damp all the time.
Mm-hmm. You'd think, but
I would think that.
Here's the thing: is that it is definitely more humid here than it is on the other side of Oregon, where I grew up. So I feel it as like, oh, this humidity is awful. And like nobody here even notices, because like they don't know what it's like to have no humidity. Cause I remember what that was like in the olden days, cause I grew up in the desert. So to me, it's very weird. But it's still, it's hot. It's uncomfortable, but we haven't had as much full on heat this year. So I don't feel like I have a right to complain, because last summer was the summer that felt like somehow Portland had been magically transported to the surface of the sun.
Ugh.
We normally get, I think the average is like 11 days a year above 90 degrees. And last year we had 30.
Ugh.
And last
so
year
unpleasant.
Was it was also the summer of the neoprene nightmare, because I blew out my knee and had to wear that monster brace.
So
and
you were
so on
sweating
top,
through that crazy thing.
Yeah. Oh. So whenever people talk about adding insult to injury, that's what I think of.
Literally adding insult to injury.
To injury.
Oh.
Now, both of us recently have been to places that were slightly less hot, which has been nice.
This is true, which is unusual since I went to a place that was quite rainy. But not as oppressively hot, which was outside of Chicago, actually quite a ways outside of Chicago, for near Woodstock, Illinois, for MacStock.
Yay!
MacStock hosted by a great crew of people, MacStockExpo.com. A lot of guys named Mike, which was actually very funny. almost everybody was named Mike, except for Barry Falk, who is not named Mike. But it was
Does he just go by not Mike?
He just goes by Bruce. Like, no. So
I'm gonna go update him in my phone now. Why does it say Bruce? Never mind.
So MacStock Expo, I talked about it on the show a bit before. This was a or technically MacStock Conference and Expo.com. This was a 2-day or day and a half conference that was hosted by some great folks out that away, and included some of my favorite people, including some people that I had not yet even met yet, who became my favorite people.
Hi.
So let's.
So it is really following in the footsteps of the conference that it was hoping to replace, which was Mac World Conference and Expo, which is where everybody used to go and hang out and catch up in person and have a really good time and then incidentally learn some stuff, but mostly you get to hang out with all the people that you talk to on the internet.
Yes.
And that's basically where this conference came from, was there is no Macworld anymore, but we still all want to get together and hang out and have a good time. So how do we do that? And so yes. This was the second one.
The first one was uh-huh. one day and roughly coincided with Barry's Midwest Mac Barbecue. Mm-hmm. And so this year they were combined. The barbecue was in the middle. So Mike Potter, who's the organizer, did a great job of pulling everything together. And he had your friend and mine, Chuck Joyner, doing podcast pre-shows for the conference, and Chuck did a great presentation. And Adam Christensen was there. Dr. Robert, what was his last name?
Dr. I know
Robert
him.
Carter?
Yeah, Dr. Carter.
Dr. Robert Carter. So...
Oh, love him.
So he is blind, uh-huh. and he was talking about accessibility, and he did an incredible presentation. Wally Cherwiensky, the photographer and videographer, was there. Oh. Allison Hartley, who is also a visually impaired Mac user and tech writer.
I missed so many people.
Melissa Davis, the Mac Mommy, was there. Don McAllister from Screencast Online. Guy Searle from MyMac.com. Allison Sheridan was there by Skype. Kirsten Shea.
Telepresence.
Kirsten Shea from Freelance Coder. Tim Robertson from MyMac.com. A cavalcade of people. And also some of my most favorite people, including Brian Chaffin and Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer, which was a delight. And
each of them are fun individually, but then you get the two of them together and it's one of those greater than the sum of its parts.
It was
kind
just,
of the things.
It was awesome. Like,
yeah, you just sit one next to the other and then you just wait.
And last, but certainly in no way least, former Tua colleagues and all around awesome persons, Dave Chartier and Brett Terpstra were both there.
Yeah.
So it was... awesome. I mean, it was a schlep. I'm not gonna lie. It was a bit to get there. And Julie Kuehl was there too. I forgot about Julie. And Mike Schmitz, who is a great OmniFocus guru. And yeah. Anyway, so a lot of user groups, a lot of folks who had a lot of great things to say. And I have to say, for a community driven or a small event, it was really, really delightful. So I was glad that I was able to go. I was glad that I was able to be there and see all these people, make new friends, see old friends. And I forgot Victor Cajau. How could I forget Victor Cajau?
How could you forget Victor Cajau? So, hi, Victor. I'm going to say hi to Victor now. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Victor. So as many people know, Victor was one of the people that gave me early encouragement as we were ramping up the Tua Talkcast these many years ago, and was always someone that I looked up to enormously when it came to just podcasting chops and really having a sense of what it took to get a good show out. He is the most delightful man, and
he's got it dialed in, and he's fantastic in every way. I'm a super Victor fan. Yeah. I just have been, and he helped me out too when I started, like, hey, so, you know, I was like talking on Twitter or something about like, yeah, Mike wants me to do this thing over at Tua where we like record stuff on Sunday nights, and Victor was like, if you ever needed anything, just let me know. And I'm like, all right. And he helped me like figure out what webcam I wanted, and like down the, you know, helped me out with things like very, very, very early on, like, you know, down the line, you're probably going to want to just buy a little breakout box that you run an XLR cable into one side of and you run USB cable out the other side of, because overall, you're going to be much better off that way. And gave me all kinds of advice. And you know, he was one of the people who told me, yes, audio quality is important, but you have to have content that people want to listen to, because nobody's going to listen to your podcast for the production value. Mm-hmm. They're going to listen to it because you're interesting. And as long as you're interesting, people are willing to forgive a lot. Yes, you should sound good, and that is important. However, you know, keep in mind that's sort of the secondary piece. Like, it's a 1-2 punch, and you really need the one, or you have no follow up. You know,
right?
So,
heaven knows people don't listen to this show for the audio quality. So,
well, I was gonna say, with all the times we struggled through Talk Show, I'm really glad that was the right advice.
It certainly was. So Victor was there, and just seeing Victor and Adam Christensen and Melissa Davis, you know, three people who I look up to enormously, and Chuck Joyner. I mean, like, I could list everybody all over again. The point is that there were many familiar faces, and I had sort of told people I was going, but I hadn't really told people I was going.
Yeah.
So the fact that everybody was like, obviously pleased and surprised that I was there was delightful.
Yeah.
It was like, you so rarely get to, you know, crash a party like that and have everybody be really happy to see you. It's like, where did you come from? So it's great.
So it sounds like your review is get a jar now and write Max Doc 2017 on the side and start putting pennies in it.
I would say it's worth it. I would say next year going to be bigger and better. And, you know, you can make a long weekend out of it. There's lots of fun stuff to do in the area. It is a ways out in the country. I'm not going to lie. It is the LECT Conference Center where it's hosted is a good 45 to 50 minute drive from Chicago, from the airport. So for those who know the Chicagoland area, O'Hare is pretty a good ways out there to begin with. So it's a ways. But it was nice. And Woodstock and the surrounding towns, they're lovely. They have great restaurants, some great local eateries and breweries. Nice. So definitely worth a visit.
Eateries, drinkeries.
Plus, would consume calories there again. Anyway, but that was back in July, and much has happened since then. And I think not far off from then was the Portland App Camp for Girls.
Which is part of why I actually did not make it to MaxDoc this year, is because I would have come home on Sunday and basically rolled right into App Camp week. And so we've had the July the July camp.
We did have the July show, but that's
there was
the
a show in July. We did it. So the way we have been doing App Camp is in Portland, there's always two sessions, and then we have other sessions in other places. So what we did this year was it just so happened that we start with Portland Camp and end with Portland Camp. So we had camp in Portland in July, the one we were about to kick off when we last spoke, I think. And then, because we haven't done a show in a while. And then after that one, we had Vancouver, BC and Seattle. And we had Phoenix. And we've just wrapped up Orange County. And tomorrow starts App Camp in Portland, the August edition. So it's very exciting for us. Orange County went well. Mrs. Max Sparky, as she's known in certain circles, is ready to start prepping for App Camp 2017, which is a good sign. So we will probably have another one in Orange County next year, which is great. We're always looking to expand. If you are a person who's interested, we will totally tell you how to get in touch with us. It's not like I'm hard to find. We do want to continue building App Camp and expanding App Camp. I'm really excited. For a lot of reasons, it's been really fun this year, partly just because the creativity is always off the charts, seeing what everybody comes up with. And also as we start to really try to scale and what that means. So if we end up having, you know, two camps during the same week, what do we do, you know, as far as like the central office, you know, if you're needing to get a hold of CENTCOM, like how does that work? And how well documented is everything so that there doesn't have to necessarily be a panicky question the night before everything starts, or where is this, or what happened to that, or, you know, where do I get this file? So, you know, every year we look at it, and this year we're looking at going a little bigger. What are we going to do next? You know, we've started sort of glancing that way, but, you know, we have to get through all the camps first. So I'm really excited about this coming week. We're going to see what happens and what kind of creativity we get. And we have some girls coming back as interns. We started an intern program, which is actually a lot of fun. Developers who have gone through a week of App Camp can volunteer. After they've done it, they can come back and volunteer to be an intern. So they talk to, like, they sort of are part of, they're part of the team, but they're more like in between the project team manager, the adult volunteer who's like the person who knows the code and is able to help them build everything, and the developers themselves. So they can help with like some basic questions, and they can do other stuff to help the team out. And so those kind of things are a lot of fun. They're super helpful. It's so much nicer now that we have interns. And because like they can be answering a question for somebody while one of the team leads is answering a question for somebody. And so like more people get more questions answered. Everything happens faster. It's really, really great. Swift has been amazing because we were doing this initially in Objective-C. And it's like we have squeezed a whole nother day into the week just by going to Swift.
By using the more efficient language. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really great. We're looking at next year. We're looking at bigger time sponsorship sort of situations and opportunities. If you work at a company that is interested in encouraging more women in technology, we're interested in that too. And you should talk to us.
Yeah. Well, I I'm interested in what you guys are doing because I am now volunteering for ScriptEd in New York, which is a new development. But this is a group that is teaching high school students front end coding, web design, web coding, and a certain amount of web design. Nice. So I will be one of a team of instructors for this, which means I got some self learning to do.
yes.
I got some work to do before. Before I am able to make that a reality, I got some educating to do. But I'm really glad it's going well, and I'm glad that the thoughts around scaling are kicking in, because that's the hardest part about taking something like App Camp to the next level is figuring out how do you package it? How do you what's the DNA? How do you franchise it, so to speak?
Yeah, and that's sort of the part that we're looking at, is like what happens when it's not a place that we can get to easily. Like if we absolutely had to, I could hang up with you right now, drive 10 minutes to the airport and buy a ticket to Orange County and be there in a couple of hours if like there is some sort of disaster that needs to happen, that needs to be addressed. Like if something were to happen in Southern California, I could be there in a couple of hours. Anyone from HQ sort of could, because we're all Portland based. So, you know, part of the appeal of expanding to Seattle in the first place was like, we can drive there, you know,
right.
Like if something really bad happens, we just get in the car. And Vancouver, BC was, you know, a little bit further, you know, so doing some of that stuff. Part of why we did it was proximity. You know, when people are asking us like, why aren't you here? Well, right now, you know, we're dialing in the formula. We're trying to figure out what we can do. So, you know, we've been a little bit more hands off. Like the HQ folks have been a little bit more hands off and sort of around as a resource, but not necessarily, you know, leading classes or showing up as official volunteers, just sort of being available if somebody needs something or has some questions or has some feedback about like the way things are happening, because every group is different. Like the volunteers are different. The project team leads are different. The campers are different. You know, all of our developers, it's totally different groups of girls. So, it's great, but it can also be a little terrifying. And it's also a little bit, because it's completely unknown and nobody knows, you know, going in, what you're going to get. So, it's, you know, you never know, because we're dealing with teenagers, and as I'm sure your house is like all about this right now. So yeah, it's a lot like that. So we're trying to figure out like how we can export this, how we can franchise this. I'm trying to figure out how it can be a thing that I get to go and build, because I would really like to go build App Camp Chicago and App Camp New York and App Camp Hawaii and App Camp London and App Camp Sydney and, you know, get to go to like all these awesome places and help people build App Camp. It'd be great.
You had me at Sydney.
So, like, my ultimate goal with App Camp is I would love if, you know, it's a nonprofit, but I would love if we were able to get to the scale where we could have people who are just staff and that's their whole job, and be able to make that my job and go be like the App Camp ambassador and go places and build app camps. I think that would be super amazing. And it would be like the best thing I would get to do with like in the world.
It would be pretty awesome.
It would be super awesome. And it would save other little girls from having to be me and be the only girl in computer class or the only girl who is like super advanced on a smartphone or the only girl who like, you know, in a room, whether it's, you know, job related, school related, whatever, if it's something technological, it gets really old to be the only girl. And that's honestly part of why I was so excited to get in on this when Jean pitched it to me initially, was because I could maybe help somebody not be the only girl. And that would make me really happy.
Yeah. And I know a few other folks who are in the same, not the same boat, but rowing in the same direction.
Yeah.
Including my colleague Aori Selassie out in San Francisco. So for everybody who is working to make the technology landscape a little bit less lonely for women, and also for people of color, for gays and lesbians, for people the differently abled, for everybody who's trying
for
to
for everybody who's tech not more inclusive. You, let's be honest.
Okay. Let's sure. Cis straight male. Well, cis straight white male over here happily acknowledging that this is a pale and testosterone laden industry,
totally,
and has been for the bulk of its existence, and yes. It is not simply up to the people who have been excluded to make a place for themselves. It is up to those of us who have been and remain the included by default
yes,
to make room. You have to make space for people to enter it. They cannot diffuse into these experiences and to these, right, into these environment and this industry. Their space must be made. So,
and there are people who get itchy about things like this, and I just want to point out, this is one of those things where it's not that, you know, it's not like you can only ever have 100 people in your community, and so if more people want to join, you have to kick those people out. No. If those people want to join, now your community is 200 people. Like, you don't have to include people at the expense of anyone else. You should just allow more people in. That's it. There's truckloads of science behind more diverse companies are more successful. More diverse companies, companies with more diverse boards do better on the stock market. People, you know, company startups that have a more diverse overall workforce find it easier to get funding because they're super creative and like people have really thought about things from a number of different angles, and they talk about this kind of stuff all the time. So it only makes sense if you are trying to completely succeed at the thing that you're trying to do, then invite all of these people, throw the doors open and see what happens. And it's better for everybody. I promise. I don't bite. I'm really nice. I'm very easy to get along with. I'm super friendly.
It's true. I can vouch for that. I will vouch for that. So in the interest of expanding diversity and finding more room for folks in the industry, what are some of the things that people can do, like specific things people can do at conferences, at events, at meetings? Like, what makes a difference?
One of the things that makes a difference is, like, and I know that this is going to sound weird to a lot of people, but I know that I have had people come up and speak to me, and the whole time it's been treating me like I'm a girl in some way, as opposed to just coming up and talking to me like, hey, what's up? You know, hi, I'm Mike. I like your t-shirt, you know, whatever. Like, part of the reason that I started getting into the whole clever t-shirt thing in the first place was to give people something to talk about to me. When you can scour the darker corners of the internet and find some things that other people aren't already wearing, then it's very easy to be the person who says, I will be at this conference wearing my Battlestar Helvetica t-shirt. Come say hello. And it gives people something to talk to you about. And so I felt like, particularly because of technological people, and not because I'm trying to perpetuate a stereotype, but more because I know that a lot of people who are in technology, people who are developers, people who are programmers, people who do a lot of like deep down IT, big brain work, can be super introverted, super shy. And it's because it's very nice to have a computer keep you company all day long. And so when you get out into the real world, it's kind of a different dynamic. It's a little odd. And so that's where the t-shirt thing came from, because like I have been told also at conferences that like it's intimidating to walk up to a woman and just start talking to them. And so, okay, well, like I can't really do anything about that. So let me see if there's a way that I can help. So I wear, you know, my t-shirt with the Dalek on it with the cutout, and you can see it's R2-D2 inside, and, you know, things like this, so that people will have a thing to come up and talk to me about. It breaks the ice a little bit, and then, you know, be an approachable person. The other thing I would say is just, and I know this sounds sort of weird, but treat them like you would treat any guy that you're speaking to at a conference. Ask them about the stuff they were learning today. Ask them about like their job, what they do, what kind of stuff they bring. If, you know, find out if they're speaking, if they are speaking, what are they speaking about? You know, it's probably something that they know something about, which is probably why they're speaking about it.
One would think.
Ask them more. There's a lot of stuff that you can say to somebody at a conference, you know, anything that you would say to anybody else that you would walk up to, like just walk up to someone who maybe doesn't look quite like you do and say hi and talk to them. Cause like I have tried to be a person who just walks up and says hello to people and starts a conversation. And that's how I found out that I'm apparently intimidating, is when I walk up and I'm like, hi, you know, you guys were just in that same session as me. Like, did you think it was great or whatever, you know? And like, I get a total deer in headlights look, like they don't know what to do. So like I've had every single weird thing that you hear about when women go to conferences, like I've had those things happen to me. Like people walk up and don't know what to say. I walk up to somebody, they don't know what to say. Nobody know, like, you know, I'm just trying to have a conversation with somebody. They think I'm flirting with them. I'm like, no. You know, anything, any kind of weird interaction, like I've ended up with a lot of them. And it's very easy to just have a conversation with somebody. If you're good at having a conversation with somebody that you don't already know, you can do the same thing with a woman at a conference. And in fact, she will probably appreciate you for it, because a lot of other people aren't able to do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That would be one thing I would say. Another thing is the stuff that I think about all the time, because I know that I'm generally underrepresented, and you know, things like, if you are looking at attending a conference and you see the speaker list and the speaker list is all men, find out why there aren't any women speaking, and ask them if, you know, ask conference organizers how hard they tried to get a woman on a panel or to get a woman. And here's the thing. If they're telling you that it's diversity because they have a woman coming to speak at the conference about being a woman in technology, that's crap. Number one, that's crap. because if she's in technology, she has some sort of skill set and she's probably willing to talk about it. So don't offer her, if you're a conference organizer, don't get a woman to come talk about how she is a unicorn. We're over it. I will tell you all about it at the bar afterwards. I will tell you all about it over lunch. I'm not going to come to your conference and give a talk about how weird it is to be the only girl. Here's the entire talk. It sucks. I'm trying to fix it. What, you know, can we talk about some skill sets, some skills now? Can we talk about JavaScript? Can we talk about troubleshooting? Can we talk about things that I am here for?
Can we talk about the $1 million startup or billion-dollar startup I created, which is a unicorn that I'm happy to talk about other than...
Right.
Yeah. That's the kind of unicorn we're cool with.
Yeah. So this, you know, my company name is Unicorn. That I'll come talk about. You know, that is super frustrating to me as a person who tries to go to conferences and you know, and I know that MaxDoc had a number of women speakers, and that was one of the things that I was glad about. And we tried to make something happen so that I would be able to be a speaker there as well and contribute, and it just didn't work. So what we need to do is we need to build App Camp Chicago, and it needs to happen. And it needs to happen like the week before or the week after MaxDoc next year, so that the HQ folks from App Camp can all come out and come to MaxDoc and represent, and then also be there to make App Camp Chicago like an amazing thing. So if you live in Chicago, let's make it happen. There are a few things that I think a lot of people don't consider if they're looking at being inclusive. And they're all things like, stop thinking about the part because I'm female, because I'm a woman, like because I'm different in some way than what you are. Stop thinking about it like that. Just think about it as like a person, how you would treat any other person, you know, who you would normally be speaking to at a conference or normally be looking at hiring for a job or, you know, looking at and employing some sort of skill for, or trying to get to come speak at a conference. All of those things are very, very easy things. There are tons of women in loads of different fields technologically. I know server admin folk. I know IT folk, like in the trenches every day. I know people who do testing, people who do documentation. I know tons of different women who would like to have an opportunity to come to your conference and talk to you about what they do, not about life as a woman when you like computers. Like, that's a different thing.
Yeah. That's a bar conversation and does not need to be the subject of another session. Speaking of conferences that do feature many, many, many women speakers and a great diversity of panelists, in my opinion, and I think objectively so. Dreamforce coming up 51 days away.
Oh.
Or, yeah, 50 days away. It is coming to San Francisco. It is coming the week of October 3rd. If you don't need to be in San Francisco that week and you aren't planning to come to Dreamforce, maybe you want to be someplace else because it's going to be a zoo. And it also happens to be Fleet Week at the same time.
Seriously.
So it's going to be a little nutty. It's gonna be fun.
That is one of the most entertaining intersections I think I've been at in a long, long time.
Yes, it should be great. But I'm looking forward to it. I've been bouncing around. I was in DC last week. I'm gonna be in Boston next week, and then I'm gonna be on vacation for a little bit. Martha's Vineyard, actually, which will be delightful. And I'm worn out. I mean, I'm looking down the barrel of these. First of all, Dreamforce is coming up, and secondly, we got first week of September anticipated iPhone announcements,
yeah,
possibly MacBook Pro announcements. I'm not ready. I gotta start working out and get my act together. I'm just not ready. I mean, I don't know at this point how to get myself together for this. Enjoyed is the wrong word. I've noticed that there's some interesting feedback now that Mark Gurman has moved to Bloomberg. People are like, oh, his stories are getting chopped to bits because it's all people familiar with the matter and Bloomberg covering its ass. But nevertheless, it looks to be some good stuff coming in early September, and I can think of at least a couple people who may be due for an iPhone 7. But I don't know. I'm just finding it difficult to get revved up. I'm looking forward to the next Mac OS, not OS 10 mm-hmm. anymore. I'm looking forward to the new iOS. I'm looking forward to the new Watch OS. But I need like a technology break. It's a good thing I've got vacation coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. And as I mentioned before the show, I was getting my act together this afternoon to put boot camp on my 3-year-old MacBook Retina MacBook Pro to try and play No Man's Sky under Windows. I looked at the specs again, and I looked at the experiences that people are having with the real, real PCs, but gaming PCs where they're at or above spec.
Windows branded, yeah.
Windows, yeah, you know, Wintel framework machines, and they're having a miserable time. The game's not performant, and it needs bug fixes. And I'm thinking, I'm going to try to get this 3-year-old not in spec video card to work on this laptop that I've got to go ahead and install a whole other OS on it. Just, you know what? My time is worth more than this. If I want to play this game so badly, I'm going to go buy a PS4. That's what I'm going to do. If that's what has to happen, that's what's going to happen.
And I'm pretty sure that's, like, given the people I've seen complaining about it, that's probably what has to happen. So.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my...
So tune in next week for the PlayStation podcast. Billy.
Oh, boy.
It's hard with the tech, but you know, the part of the problem I think is that the rumor mongering has gotten I'm gonna say out of control, and I just feel like people need to stop talking about the iPhone 8 now, because they're already doing it. And you know, all of the wailing and gnashing of teeth that people have been doing in advance of the headphone jack going away or not, we don't know.
We don't
Like, that's the thing, is like, I feel like a lot of people are generating news out of nothing, and I get really tired of that, because we used to do this. I remember one of my favorite stories we ever ran on Tua. I can quote to you the entire thing, and it was Erica Sadoun, Everything We Know About the New iPhone, and it was, it's coming, it's going to be great. I think that was the entire story.
There was basically nothing in the story. Yeah. It was basically
everything we know. There's going to be one. And that was it.
It's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to be called.
Yeah, it's going to exist. The only thing that I've been thinking about lately, partly because I've done a little retro checking myself. I got a little Clippity Nano.
Yeah.
The little 30-pin Clippy Nano. My friend John Martellaro over at Mac Observer, had one, and I had been complaining about, like, I have this little speaker with a 30-pin dock, and I don't have anything to put in it, and I like having it in the kitchen. He said, you know, I have a Nano I, like, don't do anything with. You know, I'll just give it to you if you want it. So he gave me his Nano. And first of all, that is a glorious device.
It's a pretty cool device.
Like, number one, it's little. It just sits there and like slurps up all your music, and it's awesome. And you don't really have to worry about the battery running out most of the time. So we did the car shuffle at my house. And so now I drive the Outback that used to be Mr. Kelly's car. Mm-hmm. And in the armrest, in the center, you know, between the driver's seat and the passenger seat, there's a USB port. So I took my little 30-pin cable and I plugged the Nano in there, and the Nano lives there. And the Nano is my music source, because Subaru can't get its act together when it comes to Bluetooth.
Jeez.
So, it's a disaster. That's a topic for a whole nother show. So I plug this in, and then when I'm in the car and I don't like the radio, I have all this music to fall back on. It's fantastic. And because the Nano has this, you know, smaller battery in it, and it's a lower capacity battery because it's not a big device at all.
Yeah.
Basically, even when it's always charging, even if I'm not using it, it's plugged in. So the battery's basically full. So I take it off once in a while and I will let it play. I have a little battery operated speaker with the 30-pin dock in it that I pop it in. And I'll take it off every once in a while and like run the battery out just to make sure it's still like chugging along. And I love it. It's a great little, and it is almost exactly the same size as the Apple Watch. I will point that out because that was the thing that I was joking about last year when the Apple Watch came out, was I have this watch band, this nano slap bracelet watch band. So I'm just going to wear that with the Mickey Mouse on it and pretend I have an Apple Watch.
That is a great approach toward...
Which I did. It was a very budget-friendly way to
pretend that.
to have an Apple Watch, because it would show me the time with the Mickey Mouse face. So I may have more Apple Watch news later. Actual news, not rumor mongering, next time we record. I'll just tease that. I feel like maybe we've reached the portion of the show where we have to say hi to people.
Well, I just want to say before we do say hi to people, yeah. I want to say that we retrieved our children from camp today, and I was actually able... their camp this year had a no package policy, and the elder child, aka Lulu, neglected to bring her iPod. So one of her first letters was, "Can you send me your iPod?" My iPad, and of course, no packages. Her iPod is a vertical nano, pre-touch.
Oh, the Hobbit Nano.
I think it is the Hobbit Nano, which fit neatly inside a Starbucks Via packet. Holder, which fit neatly inside a number 10 standard envelope. So, boom. Boom. Problem solved.
Oh, Apple.
And it made it there intact, which I was shocked by. But
that's amazing. Yeah.
Says quite something. So, yes, we have reached the part of the episode where we are going to greet our listeners by name. So
now, if you are a person who openly admits in public that you listen to this show, we will say hello to you too. All you have to do is mention it.
That's how it goes. That's basically
the barrier of entry to the Say Hi to People Club.
All you have to—it's not complicated. Like some shows have a much more complicated rubric. Well, we want to say hello to our newest listener, Jesse Middleton, co-founder of WeWork Labs.
Hi, Jesse Middleton.
Who has said he is now subscribed to the show, which is very exciting. So I'm glad we're recording a show that he can subscribe to. He's not listening to the old stuff.
Yeah.
Who else are we? We have to say hi to Brittany Sith.
Hi, Brittany. Speaking of, I've seen a little sneaky peeky of what might be coming down the pipeline from the purveyors of the Rays salvage t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, boy.
It's going to be exciting. We have to say hi to John Hulbert, Info Driveway. We have to say hello to Tony Walla, and Chris Landy. Hi, Chris.
Tony Walla.
Okay. Tony has actually given us a shout out. Tony was
almost,
one of our... Go
almost
ahead.
As important, almost as important as hi, Tony Walla is hi, Jerry Walla.
That's true. Hi, Jerry Walla. So Tony was one of our original listener contributors on the talk show. Has been around for the talk show. No, not exactly. Talk on the Two Odd Talkcast on Talk Shoe.
In the
old
days.
It is hot. My brain is melting. But we're thrilled that Tony is listening. And we're thrilled that you're listening. All of you, all seven of you, however many of you there are this week, we are thrilled to have you listening. Let us know. Oh, go ahead, Kelly. You were going to say
something.
No, that
was all. Just hi, everybody. That's all.
Hi, everybody.
We really like when you're listening to us. Oh, I know two people that we're forgetting that I feel we should call out by name because I never know if they're listening and I always like to think they are. Hi, Javi.
Yes.
Number one. And hi, Kelly.
Yes. Other Kelly. Kelly O'Coin.
Yes. Another Blazer fan named Kelly. So hi, Kelly.
So you can, if you want to tell us you're listening or suggest something, a topic for the show, or just let us know how you're feeling. Are you warm? Are you really warm? Are you just miserable and hot? And finally, if you can think of one of your favorite brands, products, vendors, companies, or, you know, anybody who might need to bring attention to their product or service and thinking, gosh, if only I could reach out to this brand, company, product, or service and tell them what a great opportunity they're missing by not being on the after show with Mike and Kelly. Actually, what we should say is Hilux Friedman and the Midroll. That's the best way to get advertising on your show.
Hello, Lex.
So we, you know, we're coming into the fall. We're coming into the time of year
when we're at home more, so the show comes out more regularly.
That would be correct, and also the time of fiscal reckoning, and we want to be able to continue to provide the show for you in the manner to which you've become accustomed to consuming it. So we're going to be exploring a couple of explorations revenue wise. We're not. Kelly is suggesting show titles to me in the background, and that one is not it. We're not doing that.
That's true.
It's pretty good though. So
think of the SEO.
Think that would be crazy SEO. We're going to be back in a bit, but we want to encourage everybody to get outside, find yourself a nice pile of molten sand, and really enjoy the end of summer. And enjoy the Olympics. We're midway through the Olympics right now. In fact, earlier this evening, I believe Usain Bolt reestablished his credentials as the world's fastest human. So congratulations to Mr. Bolt.
The Olympics are great.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, you know how I have a theory. And my theory is that the television weather person, the meteorologist / forecaster population, is deeply, deeply infested with alien infiltrators. And you know this by the names they have. I mean, Steve Blizzard, Tawny Storm, there are real meteorologists on television who have these crazy, crazy weather pun names. And there is no, other than some freakish nurture behavior where when you have that name, you have no option. You're teased to the point where meteorology is your only career path. But barring that, I think alien infiltration is a pretty good explanation for this. Now, I have to extend my House of Crack Pot theories, denizen, my naming convention, I have to extend my Airbnb at the House of Crack Pot theories for another night. Thank you, by the way, for the hot towels and the peppermint soap. They were delightful.
Of course.
And I have to include Usain Bolt because how can you have a family name Bolt and not be the fastest man in the world? Like, doesn't make sense. It's mandatory.
So here's the thing about the Olympics is, like, I like the Olympics. I like to watch them. I hate NBC's coverage. I think the Olympics are great. I like seeing, swimmers and gymnasts and track and fielders and all those kind of folks. Like, I really like the athleticism on display and the talent that you see and all the stuff that you get the opportunity to watch. I have never, and for anybody who knows me, like, or has ever met me or has ever listened to me on a podcast or whatever, I like stuff. I like stuff a lot. I like a lot of stuff.
It's true.
And I'm not embarrassed about it. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't feel like one of those people who has to be too cool for school, like, all the time. This is awesome. And I'm really excited about it. And I love that thing. And, like, and I'm not shy to tell people. And if you want to know how not shy I am to tell people about stuff I like, earlier this year at WWDC, there was a party that I went to. And one of the people at the party was Michael from FlexiBits, the makers of Fantastic Hal.
Yes.
And he spotted me from across the room and walked up to me and he said, "Hi, Kelly. I've been waiting forever to get the opportunity to tell you I really appreciate all the wonderful stuff that you have had to say about Fantastic Hal over the years. I think Fantastic Hal is amazing. I adore it. It makes me so happy." And that was just off the top of my head. That's just a thing that I know that, like, I have publicly come out and repeatedly stated that I have enjoyed. I do not enjoy anything in life. I'm reasonably convinced I do not enjoy anything in life as much as Leslie Jones enjoys the Olympics.
Yeah. She is really enjoying it enough for all the rest of us. It's
and
true.
Like, I don't care what she's watching. I don't care. She could be watching Olympic paint drying witnessing. And I'm like, I'm there. I'm going to go get the app on my iPad and tune in to Olympic paint drying just because I can see how excited she is about it. She's the best thing. And then the other day, somehow she ended up like adopting Mary Carrillo and like walking around with Mary Carrillo all day long. And they were amazing. They were interesting and they were funny and they were enthusiastic about whatever they were watching. And it was wonderful. Like, I just want to watch the two of them. Like, I'm not a big reality show person, but I would watch a reality show that was just like Leslie Jones and Mary Carrillo hanging out, talking about stuff.
which oddly enough, that would
be my favorite show.
It's not that different from our podcast.
That's totally true. And I would listen to that podcast so hard.
The question is, which one of us is Mary Carrillo? Because I mean, my tennis game is okay, but it's not great, you know?
Yeah, mine's terrible.
And
I played too much like Little League Baseball as a kid, and so I can't play tennis because I hit for distance every time.
Woohoo! Mm-hmm. Ground rule double.
Oh, yeah. Like, bam! And it's like over the fence because I used to play in like the little fence, you know, like, yeah. So, yeah, no. So I think however dreadful your tennis game is, I think that makes you Mary.
I guess it makes me Mary. Well, Leslie, it's been a great show.
Yes, Mary, it has.
So we want to encourage everybody to enjoy Leslie Jones' coverage of the Olympics. And that's our Twitter account of the Fortnite, for that matter, because it's Leslie Dog, LesleyDogg.
No, is it? Just Les. No?
Less dog.
LesDogg. There are three G's at the end. Yes.
LesDogg. Leslie Jones's Twitter. And she is loving.
She's a triumph.
She is loving every minute of Rio de Janeiro. Green water and all.
It's
so
stupendous. And the best thing to do is to follow her Twitter account, because occasionally, like, they had her on TV last night with Seacrest. Her Twitter account, though, is unfiltered. So also keep that in mind if you're like watching it on, you know, something without headphones, perhaps, mm-hmm. Where other people can hear it. Yeah, she is unfiltered and a little salty. So keep that in mind. And but it's like her enthusiasm, and like, she, you know, she's partial to the U.S., but like, she was watching one of the judo matches and there wasn't a U.S. competitor in the judo match that she was watching, and she didn't care. She was still just like cheering for it. It was amazing. And I love how much she loves stuff, because it's kind of not trendy right now. Like, in general, as a society, we're not like into people who like stuff. We're not into liking stuff ourselves. So whenever somebody really enjoys something like Chewbacca Mom or Leslie Jones at the Olympics or things like that, like, part of it is a certain faction of people who are laughing at that. Like, look at that person liking stuff. But like, come on.
Yeah.
So
it has a beautiful, unfeigned sincerity and
it really
and glee.
And I love it.
Yeah. It will restore your faith in humanity on some level. Two recommendations for things that are going on. Number one, if anyone is a fan of Mike Birbiglia from This American Life, and or a fan of Keegan-Michael Key from Comedy Central's Key and Peele, and or a fan of improvisation, improv comedy, and theatrical improvisation, you should probably go see Don't Think Twice, which I will say, if you have been an improviser in the past or are one now, you may find it annoying in some moments. I certainly did, because it was a little, in some spots, it was a little nails across the chalkboard, just because they were trying to do that and mm-hmm. they were very successful. But it's a very, very funny, very heartfelt film about a tight-knit improv group and the general calamity that the rest of their lives are outside of this very, very intimate connection, and what happens when one of them goes on to be on a very, very thinly disguised version of Saturday Night Live called Weekend Live. It's actually hilarious.
Oh my gosh!
It's not, they're not even trying. But it's a great film, and it was fun. I didn't even think about this till today, but there's a very, very light parallel, extremely light parallel to my life, because I was in a sketch show, not even a group that had an independent existence, but it was a sketch class and sketch show. And several years after I was in that show, one of my castmates, Casey Wilson, was in fact on Saturday Night Live.
Oh my gosh.
So I had the tiniest little bit of that experience of the people in this movie going, you know, what is up with that? Wow. And bully for her. Great. She worked very, very hard, and she's very talented and very funny. But it was that moment of, really? Wow, that's crazy. Something like this could happen. And so that's, I think, also part of why the movie gave me the tiniest bit of PTSD. But it's great, and you should go see it. The other thing you should go see, and it's, I think, only going to be in New York and L.A., in August, and it's going to be further released in September, is a movie called Complete Unknown, which stars Rachel Weisz, Michael Shannon, Kathy Bates, and Danny Glover. Now, the reason you should see this is because one of the writers of this film is a gentleman named Julian Shepard, who is a high school classmate of mine. So I encourage everyone to go out and check this out. It's awesome. It will be awesome. The trailer is on iTunes now. It's called Complete Unknown, and we will throw a link into ye old show notes. But you should go see both those movies and give them your custom. So they are awesome.
Yes, please do. Yeah. So I'm going to recommend, one thing I'm going to recommend again is the Raise Salvage t-shirt that I told you guys about before. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Because I promised there would be one last time and there wasn't. And then I actually sold a t-shirt. So hi, Cincy Golf Girl, who was like, you talked all about this shirt and I don't know how to get my hands on one. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry here. The other thing that I'm going to recommend is... because I've seen a little bit of what's going on, like with the evolution of this. Like, so you and I both, Mike, are tech people. We've gotten a lot of review stuff from people. We go to conferences and get like swag and things that people hand out. So we end up with a lot of batteries and stuff. And there's now a battery from Anker, A-N-K-E-R. There's a battery from Anker that's like a lipstick. It's a little bit bigger than a lipstick charger, but it's 5,000 milliamps instead of like the 25 or the 3,000 that you normally get with a little lipstick charger. So I'm super excited about one of these. Like, I have a little battery pack that I carry in my purse, and it's totally fine. And it's more than adequate. Otherwise, you know, I would be buying one of these. So when the time has come for the battery I have, this is probably what I'm going to get my hands on. And part of the reason I find this really interesting is because I've looked at some of the stuff that Anker has, not yet a sponsor, Anker. They have some cables, lightning cables that are covered, I guess. The outside sheath is Kevlar. So if you have cables that get chewed through in some form or another, you can fix that through the magic of Kevlar. And another thing that they do is they have this, like, I think it's called, I want to say it's Power IQ or IQ Plus, something like that.
Plus IQ.
That's smart charging. So if you plug an iPhone in, it will charge the iPhone as fast as the iPhone will take it. But then when you plug an iPad in, which has greater power, acceptance power, it will charge that as fast as it can take, even though that's a different level of power. And so they have some really great stuff. Last year for Christmas, we bought a stack of their 20,000 milliamp batteries. And they were Christmas presents because we know a lot of people who travel extensively. So like my mom can drop it in the bottom of the little backpack that she carries with her when they go on their month-long cruise and they go, you know, get off the boat and get on a tour bus and whatever. She can always use her phone to take pictures because she always has juice for it, even if she can't make phone calls and stuff because they're international and she doesn't have a plan or whatever. She can still take pictures and she's still not going to run out of juice. And... they have some, like I said, some great cables in different lengths. If you need a 6-foot cable, a 10-foot cable, they have those. They have all manner and capacity of chargers in different shapes. So there's like the round lipstick charger. The other ones are a little brickier, like a low flat, square, rectangular kind of situation. As batteries go, they're reasonably light. They're well built. They back them up. So if you have a problem with something, they'll help you make it right. They're a really, like, again, not yet a sponsor. They're just a great company. And I have a number of items from them that make me very happy. And they're things, yep, I purchased. It's not like stuff that you know, I got at a conference or whatever, so I feel obligated to talk about them. So yep. It might be time to upgrade your battery pack. And if it is, this is a great one because it will fit in your pocket next to your phone or whatever. I'm sorry, unless you're a woman, because nothing fits in your pockets, which is a rant for another day.
Well, I have to say, I have an Anker Power Core, which I love, the bigger one. I also have two of their corded chargers, the Power Port.
Oh yeah,
one that's a five port and one that's a 10 port, and they're, mm-hmm, great. I mean, they're just rock solid. I will say that the go to carry along charger that I have is a Tilt, TYLT.
Oh,
and the reason I like that, even though the form factor is not quite as compact, as it's not that heavy, and it also has a built-in lightning cable.
Ooh,
so it's actually really easy, nice, to bundle it together with your phone in your bag if you're leaving your phone to charge. So Tilt, TYLT. Actually, you can find some great deals on Amazon. I tweeted one a few weeks ago, where in some cases their chargers are, you know, like $6. Because they're overstocked. So you don't have to wait for those deals. You can go out and get one. But the Energy, it's the Energy brand, and from Tilt. Let me see if I can find the exact model. They've got some with varying cable ends. So you just want to make sure, yeah, you're looking for the one that's got the baked in lightning.
So it's Energy. It ends with an I, not a Y. Yeah.
Yes.
That's
so the most recent one I got was the 3K Plus. So, mm-hmm, the Energy I 3K Plus. So the older Energy I have, the 5K, has both a Lightning and a mini USB, which is very, mm-hmm, useful. But the 3K Plus is great. It's quite small. It's smaller than the iPhone. And it has that lightning cable, just, and also of course a USB port. So if you have your cable, you can charge anything, but, yeah, having the lightning cable there makes it really easy. And I would love to tell you that it's sitting right here by me right now, but actually I loaned it to my nephew because he was in Manhattan hunting Pokemon and he ran out of power. So, yep, it's with my nephew now and I will have to get it back at some point. But anyway, and if you look for the Tilt Energy 3K, you can find some fantastic deals. It lists, unfortunately, for $50. I think the last one I got for $8.
I just looked it up on Amazon, and it's $11.
Yeah, so the Tilt
right lists, now, like, not, yeah, special or anything.
Yeah, so the Tilt Energy 3K Plus Amazon regular price is a lot cheaper than the list. So
yeah,
check it out.
And that is the built-in lightning cable. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. I recommend them, not yet a sponsor. And certainly if they were a sponsor, I wouldn't be talking about how inexpensively you could get their stuff on Amazon. I would be talking about how you could go straight to their site. Somebody's selling the one with the micro USB for $3, $4. That's crazy.
Interestingly, I'm distracted right now because I just found the Tilt Energy backpack.
Oh yeah. So apparently the Tilt with blue is a lot cheaper than the gray or the red, which is weird. But this is, yeah, Techno Discounters USA has a bunch of the blue ones. What can I tell you? The Tilt Energy backpack, similar to the Fuel backpack, mm-hmm, has the battery baked in.
It's got a little prefab area where you
built in. Yep.
That's clever because then you can, like, if you can get a bigger battery later and like swap it out or whatever. That's
theoretically, cool. Although I think it's kind of limited space and heat dissipation. But yeah, it's a 10K.
It looks like little wow, that's not bad. It looks like it's just got like an elastic strap.
Yeah, I mean, you could theoretically replace it. It's just, it tends to be about the size that, you need right there. But you can pass the cables through. I had a bag. I've had a bag similar to this from a different company. Power bag, as opposed to the Tilt charging backpack. But yeah, it's pretty handy. Charge up to 3 of your devices in one of the 6 charging pockets. And you can also charge the battery itself without taking it out of the bag, because there's a little cable pocket for it and a pass through.
I think I was lost.
You were lost. What you were so lost in the power of the Tilt Energy Power Bank bag. anyway, so
I totally was.
Tilt not yet a sponsor. We've done our shopping, and I think we have to call it for tonight. So
we do.
Kelly, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as Verso. You can occasionally find me on the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. And you can eventually, once we start getting those cut down and released, you can find Christopher Harrington and myself doing a Stranger Things podcast.
What?
And the reason that's we just started. We've only recorded 2 shows. And the reason it's interesting is because we're not watching all of them. We didn't binge them, and now we're going back. Like, we're watching them one at a time.
Wow.
Yeah. So I haven't seen all of it yet. I've seen 2 episodes because we've recorded 2 shows. So I've seen 2.
That's fascinating.
Well, yeah. So it's like the olden days, just like the show.
Well, enjoy the catching up on Stranger Things, and everybody, as soon as that podcast is ready, you can go check it out. You can find me at Mike T. Rose on the Twitters, and we hope to see some of you soon in the various cities to which we are visiting, including for myself, Boston, and then later in October, San Francisco. So on behalf of my partner in crime, Kelly Guimont, this has been The After Show for August 14th, and we'll see you next time.